Welcome to my audio commentary on Peter's second epistle. This section, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Verse 8 says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends." Again, all the way through, we see Peter calling these people dear friends. He has an affectionate bond with these people. It's the type of bond that any church leader should have with his people. A pastor should be a person who cares. A pastor should be a caring type of individual who intimately has feelings for those to whom he is caring for. Peter has feelings for the people he is writing to. He is caring for them as a pastor should. So he calls them dear friends. "With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like a day." This is one misquoted verse. We only understand this verse from the first half of the verse. Peter is saying, in the eyes of the Lord, a day is like a thousand years. So people say, during the last thousand years, this millennium, that's only been one day in God's timing. But Peter doesn't say that. He says, a thousand earth years is like one God year. Then he goes on to say, and a thousand God years is like one earth year. The two phrases are opposite to each other. There's no logic to correlate the two. You can't have the two going together. What Peter is really saying is simple. God lives outside of our time domain. There is no such thing as time to God. The only way in which God understands time is when he enters into our time and space domain. He himself lives outside of time. So a thousand years is like one day, and one day is like a thousand years. They just cancel each other out. God exists in the eternal present. He is past, present, and future altogether. And in Revelation chapter 1, when Jesus says, "I am the Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, who is, who was, and is to come," who is, who was, and is to come, tells you that God lives outside of time. It's actually the meaning of the Hebrew word Yahweh. Yahweh meaning I am, or to be. To be meaning God is just who he is. He lives in the eternal present. All things that are or ever will be is because he exists. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness." See, Peter is saying, if you're going to talk about time in reference to God, and if you're going to talk about Jesus' return as being slow, you're talking in human terms. So if you're going to talk in human terms, I will respond to you in human terms and explain why you think the return of Jesus is slow. It's simply because God is a patient God, not willing that any should perish. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So Peter says, so again, if you're going to understand God existing in time, which when he relates to humanity, he's forced to do so, then you got to think of this slowness as not being slow or negligent on God's part. You got to think about it as patience, because everybody should come to repentance, and that's God's will. Notice repentance. Repentance is one basic truth of the gospel that does not get a lot of press these days. You cannot skip repentance in the process of salvation. You just can't jump to faith without first repenting. It doesn't work, and it's not the gospel. Anybody who says differently is teaching another gospel, as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Of course, it will come like a thief to those who aren't expecting it. For those who are expecting it, well, I still think it's going to be pretty shocking and a big surprise. Peter goes on to say, the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Now, what are we talking about here? Those Christians, which I am, who call themselves a biblical prophetic futurist, believe that there is going to be a thousand-year rule of Christ. Jesus will come to this earth, rule on this earth for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, as the book of Revelation states, the devil will be released from chains for a short while, and he causes great havoc on the earth. All the sinfulness that has been pent up for 1,000 years will explode on the earth, resulting in God's final judgment when this earth is destroyed by fire in order for a new heaven and a new earth to replace this old heaven and an old earth. This is what Peter is talking about. Peter's not talking about the return of Jesus. He's talking about the destruction of the heavens and the earth in order for a new heavens and a new earth to take their place, as seen at the end of the book of Revelation. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Peter doesn't say, since the earth is going to be destroyed, just give up and be as the antinomian Gnostics that basically preach eat, drink, and be merry. Peter is saying, you live a holy life because this earth will be destroyed. And along with the earth destruction will be the destruction of ungodly people, as he will say later here. Verse 12, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day of God, spoken of here by Peter, is the destruction of the earth. Peter says, you guys should look forward to that day. Well, that's a pretty tough day to look forward to, but the reason why we look forward to it is because when that day comes, the next day will bring about the new heaven and the new earth. Now, Peter speaks of us speeding up the coming of the day of the Lord, that day of destruction. I honestly don't understand what he's saying. And there's a lot of different viewpoints about this. You know, there are some Christians who believe that there is not a fixed day of the Lord. There's not a fixed time when Jesus will return. And there's not a fixed time or date where Jesus will destroy the earth. I don't believe that. I think there are sufficient places in the Bible where it talks about, shows that God has a fixed timetable. Things will happen when he has already prearranged them to happen. So how we can speed that up, it's a little questionable in my mind. Peter goes on to say, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens and the earth, and the elements will melt in the heat. The elements will melt in the heat. That is the real meaning of global warming. Whatever you think about global warming right now, this is global warming taken to its ultimate extreme. Verse 13, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. It's the home of righteousness. Righteousness will prevail when God recreates, I shouldn't say recreate, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. This ends this section.